James chapter 1 and verse 2. Everybody put your seatbelts on tonight, will you? Hallelujah. If something falls from the top, don't worry. Just grab and breathe hard. It's called the Holy Ghost oxygen. Would you read verse 2 with me? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Let me tell you something. It didn't say if. Oh, hallelujah. People cry, oh, man. I'm all, why has it only happened to me? Woe is me. Should be a song, woe is me. Came from the devil. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Praise God. How many of you going to fall into a various trial? If you say no, you're a liar. And come up, I'm going to pray for you. We'll get you in a trouble, all right? We're going to get you in a various trial. No problem. I'm telling you what. Knowing that the testing of your what? Faith produces patience or endurance. So you must go into various trials. For what? How are you going to know who God is if you don't? Amen? Yeah, but you don't understand my circumstance. Thank God, I don't want to. But he does. He knows it. Amen? And he's going to bring you through it. It says, but let patience have its what? Perfect work. In other words, give him a break. Hello? Quit your whining and complaining when you go into trials. Just let him bring you through it. Because the more you try to fight, the more you sink. Yeah, but. We're not the butt ministry, right? We're the head ministry. But let patience have its work. Yeah, but it's not going fast enough for me. I'm not anxious. You kidding? I can wait all day long. I just need to have it now. Hallelujah. Some people act like they just had 16 cups of coffee. Hello? But let patience have its perfect work. In other words, let the endurance that you're going through have its perfect work in you. So it's a good day to die. What's the problem? Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just lost my house. Praise God. Hallelujah. My wife left me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I ran over the dog. Hallelujah. Count it all joy, right? What are you going to do? Go lay your hands on it and raise it from the dead. What you want? Amen. Go pray in the Holy Ghost and watch God restore everything. But get your little paws out of it. Why? Because then you're going to interfere with your endurance. You're going to interfere with the perfection that God is perfecting you because he's perfect. And he says, be perfect because I'm perfect. Hello. Oh, we got to get out of the way. That's why it's a good day to die. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be what? Perfect. People like to erase it out of their Bible. I tell them to highlight it and they take a black marker. But let patience have its what? Perfect work that you may be what? Perfect and complete doing what? Oh, man. We need a tattoo on everybody's head so everybody can read it all day long. Let patience have its perfect work. Why? So you don't lack nothing. Why? Because then you're going to be perfect. See, the arena here of perfect means walking in his will and his character and his desires and in his heart. That way you know when you're walking with him, nothing will be withheld from you. Now what you're doing is you're activating faith because you know that nothing's going to be withheld from you. You just don't know when it's coming, but you know it is. Why? Because faith is holding on to nothing until it becomes something. Hello? Oh, glory. So God is going to bring you through trials. He didn't say when. He said, hallelujah. Here it comes. Here it comes your what? Trial. Oh, I love trials. You now you can get from underneath your bed and out of your closet. Hello. You don't have to go to the phone. You can go to the throne. Hallelujah. Oh, get your eyes off yourself, man. Yes. What do you think the devil's trying to do? This is what God brings you through trials for. Why? To get your eyes off you. You know, he puts you in a circumstance where, I just don't know what to do. That's when you go, praise God. I'm glad I don't know what to do, but I know he does. Yes, but you don't understand my circumstance. Again, I don't need to, as long as he does. Amen. I get people come up to me, what are you going to do? I don't know. But I will. I might not know today. I don't know. God's got it in control. He's still on the throne. Nobody's moved him off. Amen. He paid the price. Count it all joy. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Hello. Go to James verse 12. So patience is a representation of what? Endurance, right? Okay, now look at verse 12. What does it say? Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation. Hallelujah. So God is going to bring you through an arena where there's going to be patience or endurance established in you. Why? So that when temptation comes, you're not going to grab it at first bite. What are you going to do? You're going to endure the temptation. Has everybody got it? How are you going to know who God is unless you go through stuff? How are you going to know what he can do unless you go through it? So many people do not, I'm telling you, they've been believers and they've been praying and answering their own prayers for many years. They still don't know the power of God. Why? Because they've never been able to allow God to work in their life. They've always worked it. That's why an intellect is a very difficult thing to deal with, because they can work things in the natural realm. Amen? Until God slams them with the Holy Ghost baseball bat, and that carnal mind takes a stumble because it can't figure out something. It's called God. Hello? And then the mind of Christ starts taking over. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. So cursed is the man who doesn't. Hello? For when he has been what? Approved. So we see that there's two things happening here. There's one is testing your faith for endurance, right? And then there's another one so that you learn endurance so that when you are tempted, you're going to endure that also. Amen? So when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say he's tempted when I am when he is tempted. I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and doesn't he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is what? Drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Why? Because he can't endure. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. Oh, hallelujah. What we're talking about tonight is called trust factor. Trust factor. Hello. We've got to reach a level of trust, which is associated with faith, to where you are no longer moved, to where you actually enjoy trials. Hallelujah! It may not feel good. May not taste good. You may be crying while you're enjoying it. But what it's doing is producing strength. It's producing Christ in you. It's producing an area and a level of not only confidence, hope, trust, but faith in your God. That He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all you could ever ask or think. Has everybody got it? It is important, and especially about this area of time. You know, how many times have you run into someone and that you used to go to church with a long time ago? Amen? And all of a sudden, you start talking to them and so forth, and you realize, man, they haven't changed. In fact, they're weak. Amen? They're weak. On the way over here tonight, Donald and I stopped in to get a drink of water, and I was led to go to the Speedway. And I pulled up in there and came out. I was walking to my truck, and this guy gets out of his black limo. And he looks at me and says, "Hey, guy." And I said, "Hey." And I looked at him and said, I remember who he was. And this guy was in my jail class years ago. But prior to that, he was one of my limo drivers. And when he came into the jail class, you know, I kept trying to tell him about the Lord and so forth. And, you know, he was still religious and so forth and whatever. And so I saw him. He says, "Yeah, I just got out of prison." I said, "Wow." And so he started showing me some pictures of these limos, these huge, whatever you call those, hotels, you know, stretch. And there he is. He's showing me some pictures, and he's got a bottle of booze in his hand. And then he was like, I said, "What are you doing? Sound familiar? What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, you know, I just drank one night." I said, I mean, the guy's been down in prison for a while. He would write me every once in a while. Wanted me to help him when he got out to start a ministry. I wouldn't write him anymore when he asked that. Because that's not what it's about. It's about your relationship. And I began to realize, I'm thinking, man, where are you? What have you learned? Come on, you know. And I shared with him, I said, "You know it takes one drink to open that devil." And he goes, "Yeah, I know." Well, then what are you walking around with pictures of you with all of this stuff for? What are you backing in this industry again for? You know what it opens up to. Well, you know what they're searching for is acceptance. You know why? Because individuals like that cannot accept God's price. See, because every time they go through a trial, they run from God instead of to Him. Does everybody got it? They run from Him because they don't believe God can really do it. They have no trust. And let me tell you something. You can't trust somebody you don't know. And your trust level is the level of how much you know God. Does everybody understand that? Man, it grieved my spirit when I saw that brother. And then he shared with me he had a heart attack last July. I thought, man, I was hoping maybe he went to heaven and then came back or something, you know, got a revelation. But he didn't. And he says, "Yeah, I'm going to have open heart surgery." I said, "Well, go to the healer." He says, "Yeah, well, the doctors can do it. God will use the doctors." I said, "Yeah, well, go to the healer. Go to him first." Amen. See, because what happens is individuals have not allowed God to work in their life in that area, and they can never trust Him because they don't know Him, and they've only seen God move in certain areas. And when they've seen Him move in certain areas, what they do is they forget what He's done. Or the devil reasons it and says, "Well, you know, that was just coincidental." And they haven't learned patience. They haven't learned endurance. And let me tell you something. Endurance is learned. It's called on-the-job training. You must go through trials to learn to endure. So everybody got it? That's what strengthens you. A weightlifter goes and pumps iron. The first time he may be whatever. It may be difficult to lift up that few pounds, and then he begins to get stronger and stronger. But what's he doing? He's enduring, isn't he? And then there's pain after it. You know, they have that saying, no pain, no gain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn to Matthew 14, please. Oh, hallelujah. Trust factor. Glory. Matthew 14. Praise God. Sometimes you got to ask yourself, who do you trust? Matthew 14 and verse 22. I love this scripture. Immediately Jesus what? He made his disciples get in the boat. Glory. And there was no life rafts. There was no life preservers. There was no rubber duckies. There was no Shamu, you know, to hold on to. Or the turtle, or whatever that is. Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He probably went up there and said, Lord, how long do I have to put up with these guys? Help! Lord, if it's possible, let this boat pass me by. Hallelujah. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the what? Middle of the sea. Praise God. Tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, if they would have known that scripture in James 1, count it all joy. They'd all been out there partying, hanging off the side. Ooh, ha, 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 you know? Thrown up off the side, seasick. The thing was up and down and all around. The sail was probably knocked over. You know, they're like, ah, they were holding on to everything. One another, everything. Help! But if they were counting it all joy, they'd all just been partying up. Praise God, so we're going to die. Hallelujah! But no, and Jesus did not help the situation because he knew the myth about if somebody was walking on the water and they saw a ghost that they were all going to die. So he knew that. And what did Daddy do? Now, he didn't come cruising in some, you know, cloud and then land, you know. He didn't come from underwater and pop up and surprise anybody. Amen. And he didn't come in another boat. He came walking on water to scare the bejeebies out of them. What was he doing? He was testing them, wasn't he? Come on, he's the one that commanded them to go to the other side. They lost sight of that, didn't they? But they were stuck in the middle. And they weren't happy. They were not counting their trial too joyfully. They were begging for mercy and for their life. They were probably looking at who they all throw off the boat first. Man, you're going to cause us to sink. You go first. They were probably remembering Jonah's story, you know. They were probably looking at one another. You must be the cursed one. You know how that is. Everybody blames everybody else when they're in trouble. It was you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be in this circumstance. Hallelujah. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, they fainted. No. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were what? Troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for what? Fear. Well, that doesn't sound like they were counting it all joy to me. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of what? Good cheer. What was he trying to do? Man, count it all joy. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, as he caught his breath, you know, command me to come to you on the water. Thank God somebody stood up. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you bonehead, all you little faith, why do you what? Doubt. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Oh, hallelujah. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Now, this is pretty wild, you know. You know, and we lose this area, but I'm telling you what, this proved that Peter, who was the wild one, occasionally quite rebellious, denied Jesus three times, knew him more than them all. Does everybody understand it? He knew him more than the rest of them. Why? He was the one that spoke up and said, Lord, if that's you, hallelujah, command me to walk in the water. Come on, I want to do the same thing. And Jesus said, come. And Peter said, go for it. He stepped in the water, took a couple steps. He was focused on the Lord. He just remembered that the Lord commanded him. He said, you command me, because I know if you command me, it's going to happen. Amen? So he began to walk on the water, and then all of a sudden, whoops, he just lost what the command was. And he began to sink, and he started crying out to the Lord. He knew that he was his Savior. He didn't call out to the guys, yo, try to grab on the boat. He was probably too far away. Throw me a rope. Help. He cried out, called out to the Lord, didn't he? Why? Because Peter knew him the most. Does everybody understand that? There was a trust factor, wasn't there? He trusted him because he knew him. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 37. Thank you, Lord. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, if you'll read it with me, please. Do not what? Fret because of evildoers. No, be envious of what? Workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So don't fret because of evildoers. Don't fret because somebody's getting wealthy. Don't fret because somebody else is getting married before you. Don't fret because of this. Don't fret because, you know what I'm saying? That's, fret is a representation of fear. Don't freak out and fear out. Trust God. He says, trust in verse 3, trust in the Lord and what? Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his what? Oh, hallelujah. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall what? Bring it to pass. Wow. You know, when you're going through that trial that you're so joyful about, remember the scripture, he shall bring it to pass. Yes, but I need it now. Oh, no, you don't. Believe me, God waits till you get to the edge and sometimes till you fall off. He's a daddy that loves to catch you right before the end. You know why? The greater experience and trial, the more faith will be built in you, the more endurance. Does everybody get it? See, sometimes we just don't understand why all of these happen. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes they're self-inflicted, aren't they? Because of disobedience, sin, whatever. We have a tendency to open the door. But the Bible also says something very powerful. It says, all things work to the good to those who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. So even though when we bonehead out, amen, God still makes a way of escape. And when he makes a way of escape, he uses that trial to bring endurance and strength to you, if you'll let him. It says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and what? Wait patiently for him. That means endure. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes what? Harm. That means trust in the Lord, no matter what's happening. Go to Proverbs 3. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Is everybody there? Glory. Come on, read it with me, please. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct your path. Wow. Now, here's the thing. Understand something very important. The problem that we have is when we acknowledge him, we want him to direct our path. Now! Lord, I commit it to you. Now, do it! He says, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your path. Commit to me your works, and I will establish your thoughts. Now, the path must be directed by the thought. Hello? Now, I'm not talking about the thoughts of the carnal mind. I'm talking about the thoughts of the heart. Be led by the thoughts of the heart, not the emotions of the heart. And you will live the life of Christ. Hello? You be led by the thoughts of the heart, not the thoughts of the mind. And not the emotions of the heart, but the thoughts of the heart. And you will live the life of Christ. Why? Because what manifested in this world was the heart of Christ. Jesus was the heart. Amen? Oh, why? Because the heart means, represents what? Character of the Spirit. Hallelujah! Okay. I was excited on that one. Praise God. Okay. Verse 7. We didn't finish this one. Do not be wise in what? Your own eyes. That's where they get wise guys, right? Wise eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I want to go to the next one. One more, okay? Honor the Lord with your what? Woo-hoo-wee! And with the first fruits of your what? Oh, glory! Man, I'll tell you what, that's where a lot of people touching and agree with the devil. Say what? This is where God tests you. The trials. You know one of the great ways he tests you? Finances. Why? Because people so much rely on money. Amen? The world survives on K-Gash. Amen? The world trusts in money and finances. That's where their trust is at. And it spreads and rolls over. Listen, you live in a world where the ruler of this world, who is Satan, controls the world by finances. That's why his throne is right near all the oil. Hello? That's why it's crazy over there, isn't it? They're all sacrificing themselves, thinking they're doing it for God. They're doing it for the wrong one. And they're not waking up in heaven. Hallelujah. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust with all of your heart and acknowledge Him. Trust, listen to the thoughts of your heart, not the emotions. Amen? Go to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. Oh, glory. You know, it's amazing because sometimes God gives you something so profound that you know that it's God. I mean, you just know that it's God. And then the devil comes and tries to totally convince you that it's not. And then you start struggling with your thoughts. Amen? And you feel torn in every different direction. Confusion, fear, doubt, unbelief, and spaghetti comes in. And you just don't know where to go. You lose your peace. You lose direction. You lose everything. This is where you got to step back and trust. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. That's what you got to ask, who told me that? Amen? That's what you got to turn around and say, stop! In the name of love, before I cast you out, think it over. Hallelujah. Glory! Who sung that? Who sang? The Supremes, yeah. What was her name? Diana Ross, yeah. Yeah. Stop in the name of love. Before I cast you out, think it over. Hallelujah. Psalm 125. Is everybody there? Good. Would you read verse 1? Those who what? Trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides for what? Forever. I'm telling you, where your trust is, you won't be moved. You're going to feel a little wind shaking. You're going to feel a little shaky in the knees. You're going to have all kinds of thoughts going. Your hair might stand up. All kinds of stuff. But I'm telling you, you won't be moved. You'll hold on to it just like in a storm, man. You're going to hold on to that rock. You're going to hold on to that tree. Your legs may be a flapping in the wind and everything, man. But I'm telling you what, you won't let go. You won't go how you feel. You won't go by what you see. You know that you're enduring. Why? Because you won't know. You already know you don't lack nothing. You know that He's the supplier and provider of everything. Amen? Oh, when that storm comes, hallelujah. Put up the sail and take a flight. God's bringing you to another place. Proverbs 29. Don't be moved. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Hooey. Verse something, 25. Is everybody there? Let's see. Ooh. Let's go to verse 23. A man's what? Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Personal reverence into a deadly end. Everybody got it? Pride is a personal reverence into a deadly end. A man's pride will bring him low. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth but reveals nothing. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall what? be safe. Oh, hallelujah. Whoever trusts in the Lord will be what? Safe. Go to Isaiah 26. So trusting in God brings safety, doesn't it? Isaiah 26, please. You there? Praise God, I'm not. Isaiah 26. Aren't you glad we're not religious? None worse than a miserable believer. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Would you read it with me? You will... Oh, wait. Verse 2. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he what? Trust in you. Oh, you see where those thoughts are. You see, I mean, it brings peace, doesn't it? Peace. So you know that when you ain't got no peace, man, something's not right. Something's not right. Now, I'm not talking about spaghetti mind. I'm talking about peace in heart. You know? Because the mind will produce a false peace. But the heart will always reveal peace. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, right? All things through prayer and supplication and so forth. And let the peace of God guard your what? Hearts and mind. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah 17. Trust factor. Praise God. Peace of mind, safety, can't be moved. He'll guide your path. Look at all these things about trust. Amen? In Jeremiah 17:7. Would you read it? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be what? A tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes. Woo-hoo. But its leaf will be green, and will not be what? Anxious in the year of drought. In other words, he's getting some troubles. He's getting some trials. He's calling it all joy. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Come on, do you see it? Read it. Get it. Now look at the next verse. Man, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Hallelujah. So we see that there are blessings to those who trust the Lord, aren't there? Amen. Blessings. Psalm 32. Praise God. Psalm 32. And verse 10. Everybody there? Would you read it? Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Whew. Mercy is a representation of God considering you. Amen? Remember, mercy is God's consideration. Grace is his plan and action. Glory. Now, trust is the fruit of faith. All right? Trust is the fruit of faith. Now, faith is trust in action. Somebody got it? Trust is the fruit of faith, and faith is trust in action, isn't it? Amen? There's two factors of trust. The trust factor. You have entered the trust factor. Praise God. Now, two factors of trust factor. Very important. Attitude and motive. Ooh, yeah, man. Hallelujah. So, if you've got a grateful attitude, you have a pure motive. Has everybody got it? If you're of a grateful attitude, you have a pure motive. Is everybody with me? If you have an ungrateful attitude, you have a what? Deceptive motive. Has everybody got it? So, I want to go back again. So, if you have a grateful attitude, you have a pure motive. That means you trust. If you have an ungrateful attitude and a deceptive motive, that is mistrust. Is everybody with me? The two factors of trust is attitude and motives. Psalm 115. Psalm 115. We all right? Glory. You getting it? So as you go through these trials, believe me, they're good for you. Nobody likes them, but they're still good for you. Just like when you were younger and your mother made you eat that food that was good for you. And everybody else ate cookies and stuff. And they turned out to be different creatures than you did. Hallelujah. Psalm 115. And verse 11, I believe. Is everybody there? You who what? Fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their what? Amen. The Lord has been what? Mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of True Ministries. He will bless the house of Total Freedom. He will bless the house of Covenant Builders. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. Hallelujah! You know, bless your house too. I wouldn't want to forget you. Praise God. Praise God. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May the Lord, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. In Jesus' name. You who fear the Lord, respect and here, fear is honor, respect, reverence. Grateful. He is their shield. He is their high tower. He is their stronghold. Why? Because they trust. David, I love what David said one day. He said, Lord, though you slay me, I will still trust you. Whew. You know, when David was getting judged for the mistakes he made, he said, man, better the fall in the hands of a loving God than the hands of man. Man, that was wisdom. Psalm 5. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Ha, ha, ha. Psalm 5 and verse 11. But let all those rejoice who what? Put their trust in you. Let them even shout for joy. Hallelujah! Because you what? Defend them. Oh, is that powerful? I mean, there's so many things. He blesses us. He defends us. He's our shield and high tower. He keeps us. We have sound mind. We walk in safety. We acknowledge him. He guides our path. You commit your works to him. He'll establish your thoughts. The whole thing is back to James 1, verse 2. Count it all joy when you enter your various trials, and let patience have its perfect work. Oh, sure. Attitude of motive. Shake hands together. They are always associated with the emotional soulish arena. Amen? That's why we want to keep that arena connected to the Holy Spirit, don't we? Has everybody got it? Once it's not connected with the Holy Spirit, that emotional spirit pops up. And first thing he says, hurry up. You know what he says? The same thing he said to Eve. Did God really say that? What's he trying to do? Get you moving. But it's out of position, not in position. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let me share something with you. What you say yes to, you said no to. What you say no to, you've said yes to. Does everybody understand that? If you say yes to the Lord, you say no to the devil. If you say no to the devil, you say yes to the Lord. If you say no to the Lord, you say yes to the devil. So whatever you say yes to, you say no to. And whatever you say no to, you say yes to. Has everybody got it? And every circumstance of your life. Does everybody got it? It's so important. So whatever you say yes to, you're saying no to something else. You say yes to the Lord, you say no to the devil. So the Lord says, go do this. Right? And you say yes, and the devil's trying to say, no, don't go do that. You say no. Amen? Today I was cleaning off my desk. Well, I was tempting to. And there was a phone number there. And I said, I remember this one. Hey, we're supposed to, okay, blew it. Oh, man, starting to crumble up. Lord said, call him. And my first kind of mind was, but? Oh, you know, but? Yeah, hey, you know, I couldn't even get it out. Call him. You got it. And I called his brother. And then he said to me, tell him what are you doing? So I said, okay. And I saw Jonah. I said, okay, I got you. So I called this brother and he answers the phone. I said, what are you doing? And he was silent for a minute. I was probably trying to figure out who it was. It was this person telling me what I do. And I said again, do you know what this is? Yes. What are you doing? Oh. Oh, this must be God. And the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, tell him. I said, what? He said, tell him this is a courtesy call from the throne room. And I did. And he had shared with me that he had just prayed 30 minutes ago. He wanted to know what to do. And he got his answer. Of course, you know, the enemy tries to. See, now, I said yes, didn't I? The one part was trying to say no. So when you say yes to God, you say no to the devil. And you have peace. But once you say no to God and say yes to the devil, your peace is gone. Isn't it? Confusion, fear, frustration, uncertainty comes in. Amen? And you can't trust. The trust factor. Oh, glory. Psalm 40. Anyways, the brother's here tonight. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I won't mention his name, Kevin. Oh, hi, Kevin. Welcome home, Kevin. Praise God, you made the tape. See, God rewards us. Trust factor. Amen. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the what? Proud, nor such as turn aside to what? Lies. Man. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I mean, his thoughts towards us of caring and purpose and function and plan, and I mean, you know, they're you can't number them. Hallelujah. Pride is a strong man, though, isn't it? Amen. He's a high-ranking demon with a haughty spirit. It's a haughty attitude. Remember, we talked two factors. Amen. Trust factors is what? Attitude and motive. Well, there's a haughty attitude, isn't there? Man, you know some people, they have a haughty attitude, don't you? Amen? They have a selfish motive, don't they? It's to promote self and beat down others. Does not trust God. Does not trust God. Amen? You know, in Psalm 18, let's go there for a second because it talks about a little bit more haughty stuff here. Oh, hallelujah. The trust factor. So you think that grumbling, complaining, and backbiting and is a trust? No, it's a fruit of mistrust, isn't it? Amen? And when people make decisions, an offensive decision says no to God and yes to the devil. A fearful decision says no to God and yes to the devil. A self-promotion, self-motive, selfish attitude says no to God and yes to the devil. Amen? Always one or the other. Never forget that. Whatever you say yes to, you say no to. That's why the Bible says, make your yes is yes, and your no is no. Anything after that is from the devil. Hallelujah. What did I say? Psalm 18, thank you. Verse 27. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down the what? Haughty looks. Ooh. Haughty looks. Body expresses attitude. Voice expresses motive. You got it? Come on. The body expresses what? No. Yeah, the body expresses attitude and a voice expresses motive. Out of the mouth speaks the what? Heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you ever be somewhere, and you know, there's all people just talking humbly, and somebody comes in, and you can just sense that haughty spirit all over them, right? And it's like it's got that attitude that it's above others. And, you know, you want to stick your foot out while they're walking by, you know, to help them get humble. You know, because they're all decked out, they're all hot. Oh, yeah, I'm better than you. You know. Let me help you with that humble spirit. Proverbs 16:18. Hallelujah. Praise God. The trust factor. Who do you trust? In verse 18, pride goes before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. That's why I'm so happy. Hallelujah. Count it all joy. Okay. Haughty spirit before a fall. What did they do? They lost trust, didn't they? They accepted the so what attitude and selfish motive. Remember, pride brings blindness, doesn't it, to a person. They can't discern. Mistrust will open the door to fear and disobedience in every other spirit. Fear disqualifies faith. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and what? Sound mind. Fear will always disqualify faith, doesn't it? In Philippians 4, let's go there and read it since we've been talking so much about it tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. We must be near Christmas. Hallelujah. Joy to the world. I'm ready to sing some carols. Glory to God. I have to find me some Jehovah Witnesses and go knock on their door. Anybody want to go out Christmas caroling with me this year? Knock, knock. Hi, joy to the world. Come out. We have some intercessors in the background praying and the Holy Ghost barabakas all over their lawns, you know. Hallelujah. Philippians 4. Whew. Something's in the atmosphere tonight, let me tell you. Jesus, thank you, Master. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for everything. Oh. Oh. Wow, hallelujah. Praise God. Be anxious for what? Nothing. That means you trust. See, if you're anxious for everything, you don't trust. If you're an individual that has to have it now, listen, people will try to put God in a corner. Lord, if you're real, you'll give it to me right now. Boy, he'd like to. Uh-huh. You know, when we were kids, you know, you have these relationships with a girl or a boy. If you really loved me, you'd do this. Right? Dude jumps in front of a car, gets killed. I guess he loved me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all your carnal, goofy understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, we are reaching a level where you gotta trust. No matter what, you gotta trust. Amen? Trust brings content. It brings rest. It brings peace. And it brings relationship. When you trust Him, He trusts you. Can you trust someone that don't trust you? No way. You don't know what they're going to do. You tell them to do something, you're going, oh God, please let it be done right. Amen? Go bring this down there. Oh, where's he going to go now? Praise God. Go paint the corner piece right there. You come back and the whole house repainted. Hallelujah. An angry attitude is an ungrateful one. A joyful attitude is a grateful one. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10. And we'll close here, I think. I don't see any more notes on here. Must be it. Praise God, on time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got an on-time God, don't we? I believe it was an on-time message tonight. Praise God. For some of you that have moved from job to job and so forth. Now if you've been moved from relationship to relationship, you got the problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In this trust factor, always remember that your hope is in the Lord. No matter what. Nothing else. It's not in your pastor. Because your pastor will let you down. It's not in your boss. It's not in nothing. It's not in your relationships. It's not in your job. It's not in your finances. It's not in your possessions. It's not in anything. Your hope is in the Lord. And only in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down these strongholds that cause mistrust. Do you understand that? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every mistrustful thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when you're what? Obedience is fulfilled. And verse 7, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. But even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority with which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that we are in word by letters when we are absent, such as we will also be indeed when we are what? Present. Get rid of it. Get rid of mistrust. Make the choice to trust by changing your attitude and your motive. Amen? By making the choice of changing your attitude and your motive, you'll begin that arena of trust. Amen? Those are the two major things of in the trust factor is attitude and motive. See, when you have dominion over your attitude and motive, you will shut the door to the devil, and you will not be moved, and you'll be able to walk in the trust arena. No matter what happens, no matter what. Listen, even when you make a mistake, hello? Even when you make a mistake. Because, you know, the Lord said to me one time, and I was all frustrated because I made a mistake. Well, it was actually a few of them. But I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I repented and so forth. And he said to me, guy, as long as you're walking in my will and you make a mistake, your mistakes are my problems. Amen? Why? Because there's a trust factor there, isn't there? There's a relationship of trust. So you make a mistake, he's going to fix it. They're his problems, not yours. As long as you do not make them your problems. Hello? Why? Because you give it over to him, don't you? Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. That's why the Lord says, come to me. You are heavy laden. You got burdens and all kinds of other stuff. What's he saying? Learn from me and trust me. Give him the opportunity. And as you go through your trials, count it all joy. Amen. Let the Lord build your house. Let the Lord grant you the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Let the Lord direct your path. And let him love on you. Amen. Let him love on you. Trust him. When you find yourself mistrusting God, change your attitude. And change your motive. Amen. And you'll find that trust will begin to fall into place. That's where you make that confession. Lord, I trust you. Though you slay me, I still trust you. Amen. Though you slay me, I will still worship you. No matter what's going on in my life, no matter what the circumstances, you are on the throne. And I'm going to trust you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be imparted in each and every one, that this spirit of truth will manifest trust. Lord, in every area where our motives and attitudes are out of line, we ask, Lord, that we repent, and we ask that you'll bring them in line according to your will so that we can walk in the fullness of trusting you. In Jesus' name.